Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Tailcatcher is off today. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to go over the most underrated comic book characters. Previously, we had gone over the most overrated comic book characters, but now we want to see those characters that maybe need a little more love or someone a little bit more popularity than what they have, and maybe see them in a movie or two, which would be kind of nice. We'll also be going over episode 7 of WandaVision, and we will discuss the latest news and answer some listener email. So, Jack, what have you been up to?
I haven't been up to anything overly different from the last time. When I had time, I've worked on my mouse, but I also started watching Resident Alien on Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
Very, very funny show. It's a little high end at times, but it's your typical fish out of water show,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, he's an alien and he's discovering a human experience. So it's really good. They're up to the fifth episode. So
is anyone famous in that? Because it sounds familiar.
That's the one Andy Dudek is in.
Okay. I mean, Alan Tudyk.
As?
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk. That's it.
Why am
I thinking Andy? It's something, I don't know. But he's terrific in it. He gets to deliver lines that are just, they're flat out funny because of the way he delivers them. It's sort of like in the movie Ghost Town, where Ricky Gervais is saying these horrible things and people think he's funny, but, you know, he actually means these things. It's that same kind of humor. And he's, of course, in a town and there's all sorts of strange people and goings on anyway, despite the fact he's an alien walking around it. So it's a pretty good show. So I'd recommend it for anybody to check out if they like that quirky kind of comedy.
Okay. No, I mean, I think Taylor was talking about that not too long ago too. So I guess it's somewhat popular.
It's pretty good. You should check it out.
Yeah. And I know you said you've been working on your Bandai X wing, right?
Yep. Still working on it.
I looked at your log. So you have a log that's on Twitter, right?
I have actually it's on Imgur, but I put the links on my Twitter page. And even though the Millennium Falcon diary build is on there, as well as the TIE Interceptor. I haven't put the X-Wing up because I haven't finished it yet.
Well, I saw like the pictures that you did of like the R2 unit that you were working on.
Oh, that's because I text them to you.
No, it's also in there too. I looked at it today, unless you...
It is? Because I hadn't published the post, so I didn't think it would still be viewable, but hey, who knows? Maybe it is.
Well, anyway, I'll show a picture. You guys are probably looking at it now. It's pretty impressive. I mean, to think that you painted that. I don't know how you have like these goggles that are magnifying goggles, right?
Yes. I started using reading glasses. And then I tried the large magnifying lens to work with.
Hmm.
And it was just too disorienting. So I basically got those jeweler's goggles outfit. So they let you get down into the nitty gritty.
Yeah. No, you're doing a good job so far.
Can't wait
for the finished product. So what I've been doing, I usually watch movies. I watched Flash Gordon over the weekend.
Love Flash Gordon.
Me too. That's like such an underrated movie.
Yes, it is.
I remember seeing that in the theaters, you know, when I was younger. And I had such a blast, and I loved, you know, the cast. It was Sam J. Jones was Flash Gordon. Melody Anderson was Dale, who was so hot. She still is. Ming the Merciless was Max von Sydow, and
he was great.
He was. He was such a good villain. Timothy Dalton was in it. You know, he was also played James Bond later on. But it's such a fun, colorful movie. It's a little cheesy. Like, if you watch it now,
it is completely cheese whiz.
All right. Okay. But I guess
that's what makes it great.
it's a nostalgia factor for us. It's, we enjoyed it so much that it brings back some nice memories.
And a, and Queen doing the soundtrack is just,
yeah, that was, it was a blast. It's a really good movie. I also watched Joker again, which I know you haven't watched.
No, I will not watch it. No matter how much you insist, I will not watch it.
I convinced my friend to watch it, and he really enjoyed it. It's the performance. It's just Joaquin's performance. It's not the Joker. If you watch it, it's not the Joker at all. But it's just a really good performance. It's an Elseworld. I mean, again, when you watch like the Batman movies like that Christopher Nolan did, they're not really Batman. They're kind of Elseworld movies, you know?
There's something. I don't know.
Yeah, there's something. But
there's something.
There's something.
With a, bat, even, a guy in a bat suit.
Even Tim Burton's, I guess, it's not like what we would think. Like, I think like Superman, the movie, I think was the closest that we really got to something that was purely DC, and maybe even Wonder Woman, you know, that was.
No, I think you're right. Superman, the movie.
Yeah.
That is as close to a comic book interpretation as it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, we had Clark Kent the way he initially was, this nerdy, quiet, mild-mannered guy versus, you know, he's a little bit cooler now. You know, he's not as stiff and straight, but Christopher Reeves played him stiff, straight, dorky.
Yeah.
You know.
Very and then shy.
Then he transformed into Superman. So I think you're right. That is pretty close to what the comic books used to be like at the time.
And you believe him. You know, you could believe him as Clark Kent and as Superman. And when he takes those glasses off, let's see if I could do it. It's like, you know.
Oh, where'd Joe go?
Exactly. Yeah, that's such a great movie. But I also watched Dredd. Did you ever watch Dredd with Carl Urban?
Yes, yes. Much better than Sylvester Stallone's
one. Yes, I'll agree with you there. I forgot how violent that movie is. Good Lord.
Oh no, it's extremely violent, but it's good because it's kind of a very self-contained story.
Yeah.
Like even if you don't know anything about Judge Dredd, from the way that movie is set up, everything is wrapped up very well. You learn all you need to know during the movie, has a definite ending that really they could do Judge Dredd another movie and do it the same way, and it would almost be like a brand new issue.
Well, I've heard Carl Urban would like to do another Dredd or even do a Dredd series on TV, and he was good. I love that you never see him like out of his helmet, like with Stallone. He took his helmet off within the first 10 minutes, I think.
Well, it's Stallone. You know, you have to see, why does Spider-Man lose his mask? Why does Captain America take his mask off? Why does Tony open his helmet in the middle of battle? You know, because you're paying them a truck full of money and you want their face to be seen.
But Dredd in the comics, he was kind of like the Mandalorian. I mean, he rarely, I don't know if he ever took his, I didn't follow him that much. I mean, I got a couple of issues of him, but I got the ones when it was the Batman Dredd crossovers. There was a couple of those. And
yes, there were.
Yeah. And the artwork was pretty cool. And again, just to see Batman and Dredd working together, it's kind of cool.
Well, they're very different styles.
Yeah. I think Dredd was, I think that, what was that called? What's the city that he's in charge of? Metro? It's not Metro City. That's
I don't know. Everything is a mega block.
Yeah, it's Mega City, I think.
Is that the outright name of it? I don't know.
I think it is Mega City. Metro City was Megamind. they're pretty
also
close.
Also a great movie.
Anyway, all right, let's get into the news.
Okay.
So
roll the tape, Joe.
Here we go. So the new Spider-Man movie, did you hear about the new title?
I heard about the new title, yes.
It's called No Way Home?
Yeah, it's kind of very definitive. Like, you know, it's like you had Homecoming, then you had Far From Home, No Way Home, I kind of worry for Spider-Man with a title like that.
Yeah, I have no idea what it's going to be. I think Tom Holland kind of even said, who knows, I don't trust this kid.
He's playing the actor's game better than Mark Ruffalo, at least.
I he said that they're making it up as they shoot, which I could kind of believe, because I think that they might have changed after people got really excited knowing that some people were added to the cast, you know, like Jamie Foxx and Alfred Molina, who played Doc Ock, and Jamie Foxx played Electro and stuff like that. And we still don't know for sure, according to Tom Holland, that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, he says they're not in it. He said it a second time. He better be telling the truth, because if he's not, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to be pissed off. They're going to be more pissed off at that than him leaking stuff, you know? Or maybe they'll forgive him.
If the movie's really good, they'll forgive him.
Yeah, I don't like any of these titles. I think all the titles are lame that they've done. Homecoming, Far From Home.
I think they've been good, and they've been light titles. Spider-Man is supposed to be light. It's supposed to be fun. And I think the first two titles fit with that movie. To go No Way Home, I mean, honestly, I'd like to see the MCU's Spider-Man make his way home. You know, I don't want him, like, left in the multiverse and be rescued by Doctor Strange or something.
I'd assume that's what it means, though. He's probably stuck in another universe, you know? That's what the No Way Home is. And
I want to see him back in his, being friendly in his neighborhood.
Me too. I'd love to see him in Manhattan, swinging around Manhattan. We still haven't really seen that yet, and that'd be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, we did.
No, we didn't. When? Oh, you mean in...
At the end of Far From Home, he takes Infinity Mary War? Jane for a spin around
a second.
The city.
That's just a second. You know,
I thought it was a fun scene.
It was fun, but I want to see... To me, Spider-Man isn't Spider-Man in Queens. He's more Spider-Man in Manhattan. That's how I remember. But again, this isn't my Spider-Man.
He'll get there.
Yeah, he'll get there. But he also said that this is his last Spider-Man that he's contracted for.
You know, so I had heard that. Yeah. That's the last one he's contracted for, but he loves playing the part.
Oh, no, he says he would love to play it some more, but they have to work out some sort of deal.
Yeah, truck of money.
And he also said, too, that it looks like Spider-Man and the MCU are going to be staying together for a pretty long time. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see them breaking up, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that Sony and Marvel came to some sort of agreement.
That's nice.
Well, yeah, I'd like to see that. Like, the whole squabble after Far From Home. It's like, you know what? The character is finally being handled the right way. That I think the right way all around. You know, things are good. Don't mess them up. Plus, you know, you have Spider-Man able to interact with other heroes. And that's part of the fun of Spider-Man, because, you know, he does have a lot of that gee whiz factor. You know, like, gee whiz, Mr. Stark. And the same thing with Doctor Strange. You know, he'll probably be the same way of, you know, the young kid in the group, a little bit in awe of the older heroes. So it just adds, I think, to his charm.
Yeah, that's fine. But again, I think that back then when they had their little separation, the MCU and Sony, it was more Disney's fault, because they were like, Sony worked with Disney and Marvel because they wanted some of the MCU money that they weren't getting with the Amazing Spider-Man movies. And they knew Spider-Man was such a popular character. So they had Marvel help them. And then when they got up to Far From Home, they finally cleared $1 billion. And then Disney's like, wait a minute, you know, it's, we want some of that pie, but that's not what they contracted for. You know, they basically said, you can use him in the Avengers movies, and we'll use him in our movies, and we'll have some of your stars come over, and we'll cross promote each other, but let us keep the profit. So to me, Disney was the bad guy in this. They were a little greedy. They got a little bit of money.
They're all greedy.
They're all greedy. Yeah, I admit that's true, but Anyway, so
Hollywood types aren't known for their generosity.
You know how I feel about Hollywood. So it's been confirmed that Loki will be premiering on Disney Plus on June 11th, and the Clone Wars spinoff, The Bad Batch, will be premiering on May the 4th.
It will be on May the 4th.
Yes, it will.
That's a nice twist.
Yeah, you know, it's nice. Little event for Star Wars Day. Like, again, I was never a huge fan of the Bad Batch when they were in Clone Wars, the last season. Hopefully it's good, though, you know.
I think it'll be fun. I know they're not your favorite, but, I mean, I enjoyed those episodes. And we have to see when it takes place. I mean, is it still going to take place during the Clone Wars, or is it after the Clone Wars and these guys have nothing to do?
It's got to be after the Clone Wars if the Order 66 was executed, right?
I don't know anything about the show other than the characters that are in it. I don't know when the
second... Oh, so you're saying you think it could be a prequel?
No. I think it could be afterwards. Like we talked about one of the books, one of Timothy Zahn books, where... you had this group of stormtroopers who sort of broke off and they were doing their own thing, almost like the A-Team in Star Wars.
Yeah.
That they were out, they were each specialists and they each did their own thing, sort of like what the Bad Batch is. That could be a lot of fun. Like I said, the A-Team in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, hopefully it's good. What do you think about Loki? Are you looking forward to that?
Loki, I don't know much about where they're going. I did see a promo pic of Loki as President Loki or running for president, where that did happen in the comics, but I wasn't following that storyline.
Yeah, I think I remember that too.
So know. I don't know if he tries to do something like that, and that's when the Time Variance Authority comes after him. I don't know. I'm waiting to be surprised. The same way... I don't know. I haven't looked all that much into the Winter Soldier and, well, Buck, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I haven't looked into it too much because I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. So today the trailer for the MODOK series on Hulu came out. Did you look at that at all?
No, I haven't. It sounds like MODOK is one of those scary creature characters, and it kind of looks like they're playing them for laughs.
They are.
And MODOK isn't really kind of, he's not funny, but they're going to do something with him.
It looks dumb. I watched the trailer. It reminds me of Robot Chicken, you know? You would think it's a Robot Chicken episode. Like if you
do.
Yeah, when you watch it. Yeah, I hate him as a villain. I think it annoys me. When I was a kid and I used to pick up a comic and he was in it, cause it's like, it's just this big guy with a big head, little arms, little legs. But
he's an artificially grown creature,
even so,
created by AIM. And then he took over AIM.
Even so, I just never liked
it. It's like if him. Hydra had one guy running it.
Yeah. And Patton Oswalt is doing the voice for him.
I think he's funny.
You know, I love him in Ratatouille. That's like one of my favorite Pixar movies.
Oh, he was great in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I didn't see him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Actually, he played three different characters in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They never quite specified what he was, but there were three of them, two brothers and a sister.
Oh, really?
And they were like the Shield's base manager. Well, one of them was. And the other two were his siblings who were involved somehow, but they never really explained it too much. But his siblings knew everything that he did. So, no, it was a very funny part. It was very good. There's a lot of good stuff in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Joe. You should start binging that.
Ain't gonna happen. Not gonna happen at all.
I'm telling you.
You're lucky I'm watching WandaVision. You're lucky I'm watching WandaVision.
WandaVision is awesome.
Oh, we'll get into that.
and so I killed Sparky too.
So that's going to be premiering on May 21st on Hulu. Daisy Ridley said she'd be up to playing Spider-Woman. Olivia Wilde is directing Spider-Woman for Sony.
I didn't know they were. I thought that was still one of those things up in the air. I didn't think it had gone that far.
They had signed Olivia Wilde to direct. So she's definitely looking at casting. What do you think? Do you think she would make a good Spider-Woman?
I think Olivia Wilde would make a better Spider-Woman.
Yeah. You know.
Daisy Ridley. Why can't I speak tonight? I'm going to refer to everything as that person from that show about you know what is now playing that character. You know, and I think I'll be covered pretty well. But Daisy Ridley, I like Daisy Ridley, but I don't think she has the look of Jessica Drew. You need somebody who kind of has that smart alecky look.
Really?
To her.
I think she's got the look.
No, Daisy Ridley has the girl next door look.
Well, she's going to be wearing a mask, you know, for most.
Not all the time. It's an MCU production.
That's true.
She'll only have her mask on.
But you get to see her mouth, right?
Hmm?
Don't you get to see her mouth? Doesn't Spider-Woman?
Oh, come on. She's going to face down her major villain and go, you know, I've always hated you. You know the mask is coming off.
She better keep up with her dentist. Because of her teeth. They're going to see her teeth a lot.
Daisy Ridley's teeth are bad?
No, I'm sure it's fine. But I'm saying that since her mask shows her mouth, I said she should keep up with her dentist.
Oh, well, yeah. But yeah, like I said, Daisy Ridley has that girl next door. Jessica Drew is kind of first she's a spy. Then she's also, you know, like I said, she's got a little bit of an edge to her. Dare I say Daisy Ridley is edgeless? I don't know. I don't see the casting, but who knows?
Too nice.
She could surprise us.
Too nice for you?
Huh?
Too nice for you?
Yeah. Daisy Ridley should play someone nice.
You know what would be a good one? I think she's might be a little too old now, is Kate Beckinsale.
Exactly.
Yeah, she would have been good. In so many things. I think of so many things that she could have been in the MCU. She could have been fantastic.
Or even, what's her name? Evangeline Lilly? The one who's playing the Wasp.
Yeah, but Yeah, but I wouldn't want to see her play Wasp and Spider-Woman.
No, that's what I mean. She's already playing the Wasp, but she has that kind of look, I think, for Jessica Drew.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Who was the other? Was it Spider-Girl? Was she the one that had, like, the black suit Spider-Man costume?
Well, that was Julia Carpenter. She showed up during Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And she just kind of showed up. I don't remember how she got her powers or anything like that. But I think, but I'm not sure that she's like the new Madame Web.
Oh, really?
I think so, currently.
I liked her costume.
I love that costume. That's a cool looking costume. Yeah. I like that better than the classic Spider-Woman costume.
Me too. I mean, Spider-Woman costume's okay, but I would rather them go with that one, but they're not going to do that.
Right.
So there was a rumor that Jennifer Lawrence might be joining the cast of Fantastic Four, but something tells me you know something otherwise.
Well, yeah, I mentioned a little bit before. I think that was put down as a casting rumor, you know, a fan-based casting rumor. The same way that people are screaming to have John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. I agree. as Reed Richards and Sue Storm, but who knows if that's going to happen. But now Jennifer Lawrence is not the Invisible Woman right now, as far as we know. And as far as her people are talking, they're like, yeah, that's new to us.
Well, that's good to hear. Because when I first heard that, my heart sank. Because it's not that I don't like her. I think she's a good actress. She's a very good actress, but she doesn't look like Sue Storm to me. And
I think she does. You can't go by the Hunger Games because she was very dredgy looking in that. But I thought she looked good in the X-Men movies.
Well, my problem again, and I think
when she wasn't blue.
Well, yeah, no, but yeah, she had blonde hair when she was just her human form in the X-Men. Mm-hmm. My problem with that though is that once she won the Oscar, you know, Fox decided to focus on her as the main X-Men in all of their movies, and she led the team. It just was like, come on, you know, like it's so weird when you look back at those X-Men movies at the most. The characters that they kept pushing were Mystique and Quicksilver, you know, and they were barely X-Men.
No, I think Mystique had a much bigger role than Quicksilver. I know they were pushing Quicksilver because, let's face it, that was a very cool effect they used when he was in the kitchen and he's running around. He's sort of pointing dishes at people and cups and, you know, moving bullets around. That was a very cool scene. That was, I guess, a very expensive effect shot. So they had a lot of fun with that. So I think that was what they pushed for him to get the most bang out of the buck for that. But Jennifer Lawrence had, as Mystique, had a pretty big role in those last few X-Men movies.
Well, that's my point, is that...
Even though I did finally catch... Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
I don't think they really did right by anybody in that one.
I think it looked very comic booky though. You know, I mean, I was expecting a train wreck because that's what a lot of reviews were saying, but I liked when they were in space in the beginning and they kind of, when they first encountered, I guess, the Phoenix or whatever, or she became possessed.
I thought that was cool. It's just as the movie went on. But then again, the Dark Phoenix storyline has been around for so long. And in the comics, they've gone back and tapped that so many times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like it's been done too many times. Like, I hope, really hope, the MCU now leaves the whole Infinity Stone behind.
Well, they're gone, apparently.
They're gone, apparently. But, you know, comic books, they always can... reform, come back or something. Yeah. But I hope Marvel doesn't go back to that well again. In the comics, they're planning on doing yet another Infinity Gauntlet storyline coming up this summer. It's like, enough is enough. You know, just find something else to move on with.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But I was going to say, in the X-Men movie, Dark Phoenix, those costumes were kick-ass.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Those costumes in X-Men Dark Phoenix were kick-ass.
Yeah, they look good.
They did.
I like that scene when they're all, you know, and they're in the suits.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to regular clothes with, you know...
leather.
A little paraphernalia or something. But, no, the X-Men suits look pretty good in that.
Yep. All right. That's it with the news. So let's get into it. We're going to get into WandaVision episode number 7. What'd you think, Jack?
It's up to a solid 9.
It went up since this one?
It went up. And you know what? The Agatha theme song, that has been popping in and out of my head since I saw it. And I killed Sparky too. Ha ha ha. Like, oh, come on. That's just great. A lot of good things. The Vision going through, I like the bit where he's doing the Modern Family talking to the camera. And then he's like, what am I doing? I gotta go check on my wife. I gotta go save my wife, see what's going on. You know, and he gets up and leaves. Like, I think we are actually seeing, you know, like you didn't buy that the Vision and Scarlet Witch would be in love, but I think we're really seeing it on WandaVision, how, you know, he cares so much for her, even though he knows she's broken, gone wrong somehow, that he still will do anything he can to save her and bring her back from the edge. And her, on the other hand, she loves him so much, she's desperate to create a life for them where they can be together. So it really is that love at the core of the whole storyline. But then you've got now Agatha. So we'll see what happens with that. But I love how they tied that all in, that whenever, well, during her theme song, that you saw all the different points where she was kind of there manipulating things in the background. So it's good. I'm liking it, Joe. I know it's not your cup of tea, but I'm liking it.
No, I just want to ask you, though, but don't you feel like they telegraphed Agatha throughout the whole series that she was going to be behind everything?
Actually, I don't feel that. Like, because she was Agnes, not Agatha.
Or Agnes.
I thought that was just, okay, they were using one of those. Agnes was a much more popular name, I guess, back in, you know, the 50s and the 60s. It's kind of an old-fashioned name now. But, you know, I figured that was just the character's name. And just like the guy in Vision's office, you know, being the goofy office guy, that Agnes was somebody who's now forced into Wanda's version of the wacky next door neighbor. You know, I didn't think it was telegraphed. I didn't see that coming.
Well, I forget.
Of course, because Agatha Harkness is, you know, hundreds of years old in the comic book, and she looks it. So, you know, we're you know, hot Aunt May.
What's that?
Hot Aunt May, pretty Agatha Harkness. You know, that's what we're seeing.
No, I was going to say
no women over 30 get parts in Hollywood, even when they're supposed to play old women.
That's horrible. That's ageist.
I know. I'm not saying it's right, but let's face it. You always hear this thing that, you know, actresses have a hard time landing roles after they hit a certain age. And, you know, I'm glad it's not happening in these cases. And with Marissa Tomei and, once again, I can't remember any names.
I don't know.
Agatha Harkness. You know, but she's always been funny. I've liked her too. I've seen her in other things.
But I'm saying, would you have been upset if they cast an older person to play Agatha or Agnes? I don't think it would have made a difference.
If they cast an older person and had the older person acting like Agnes did in the series, I probably would have been less keen on the character. Like if they had an older person playing Agatha Harkness, and she was like that friendly next door neighbor who would, you know, offer advice and stuff.
Huh? Yeah, they could have done that with an older person.
Then, you know, older, and we're talking.
Well, older, not like person. Not one foot in the grave and the other foot in the banana peel, you know, just, you know, someone like maybe.
But that's what I mean. If they had an older person, they probably would have gone to that trope of, you know, here's the wise next door neighbor that, you know, the people go to advice for, and, you know, she's always baking cookies or a pie or something, you know, sitcom tropes. So, but Agnes is fun. I like the fact that she, you know, she comes over, oh, you're having a party? Oh, you're entertaining? Here's, you know, shrimp cocktail in a Tupperware you could put out. You can do this. And
oh, that's really fun.
Well, she's not supposed to be fun. She's supposed to be quirky. And, you know, she's been quirky as the next door neighbor. So, you know, I like where they're going with it.
All right. Well, here's my
one complaint. My one complaint is if they're saying the book she had down in the basement is the Darkhold, then that's kind of a problem, because they've already introduced the Darkhold in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it didn't look like that. Because the Darkhold was kind of cool, because the way it was written in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., no matter how the book was turned, it always said Darkhold.
Well, again, Jack, I never saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And I'm saying you should check it out.
I think...
You watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'll watch The Joker. How's that for a deal?
That's not fair, because you only have to 2 hours that you have to take out of your time.
It will feel like 7 seasons.
No, it won't. Are you out of your mind? You haven't seen it. It's not going to happen.
I can't say that. It may not be a bad movie. I just have no interest in it.
All right, let me give you my take on this, all right? So I felt this episode sucked. I thought it really went downhill from here. And I got emails from people that listen, and I found out that I wasn't crazy, because they said the same thing, that they really disliked this episode, although they liked the previous episodes. And some even liked the first three episodes. And I was like, so they asked me, what do you think happened? And I said, I personally feel that the way things were going, it was starting to get better. And I've told you this, you know, like, it's getting entertaining, you know. And I didn't mention this before, too. What I think is kind of cool, like, I had spoken to my nephew who listens to the podcast, is that he's looking for all these clues and he's researching comics to come up with theories and ideas of what it could be. And I think that's fantastic that so many people are doing that, because I'm hearing that from a lot of people.
That is good that they're taking an active role in tracking down the comics that back up this. Cool.
But I think if I had to say one word what this episode was, I'd say it was a stumble. You know, because it was, to me, going in an upward plane, and I think that this episode just wasn't very good. I have been avoiding this because I know at times you guys think that I kind of, you know, curve to the right, but
slightly,
as Popeye would say, that's all I can stands. I can't stands no more.
So you watched this far. This means you're not going to watch it anymore.
No. I'm going to watch it, but I'm going to say what I feel. There's a lot
of holding back.
There's a lot of wokeness in this series.
Oh, there's a lot of wokeness in all of
in everything.
Whatever Disney puts out now,
but this is what I don't like about it. This is what I don't like about it. So you get, and I love Monica, and I like Wu. You know, Darcy, I can't stand. But to me, they're basically like the three woke stooges, you know, because they're always right. They're never wrong, you know. And then you got like, who's the general of S.W.O.R.D., you know.
Tolkien. I don't remember his name. He's just, in my head, he's just like the general, the boss.
Token white male, you know, he's like, kill Wanda. She's evil. And they're like, no, don't do it. And I think I told you guys this privately. There's no way that Wanda's going to be evil now when all three of them are like, she's save Wanda. And he's like, kill her, you know. And then that time when she had all of his soldiers like aim their guns at him and she didn't kill him, it's like, she ain't bad. She should have been bad. If she was bad, it would have been really, really cool, you know. But I was like, they're not going to do it. They're not going to make her a bad person, which sucks.
No, if they cross a certain line, the character will be irredeemable. And they can't have that if they're going to keep using her.
Well, whatever. So my point is, they were the three stooges. Now it's a quartet. Because they bring in this other woman. And what's her name? Her name is Major Goodner. You know, that she basically betrays the head of S.W.O.R.D. to become friends with, you know, the trio, you know, so that they become a quartet. And what I don't like about it, I'll compare it to The Boys, and I love The Boys. And again, The Boys is very diverse. It's got different sides of how people think about, you know, what is going on in this country and around the world and stuff like that. But it's balanced. You know, I always felt that it was balanced because you never knew.
The Boys is balanced?
Yes.
Because you never think The Boys is totally off the wall insane, which is why it's so much fun.
No, no, it's balanced that you never knew who was going to be good or bad. You know, I mean, yeah, you know, what's his name?
They're all terrible.
No, but like,
but you're terrible. The only two good guys I think are,
Starlight.
Starlight's all right, but
Huey,
and their tech guy.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, my point is no, but at the end of that series, you know, they were having some sort of legal case going against what's his name? I can't think of his name. The bad meanie. It's not Overlord.
Homelander.
Yeah, Homelander.
I don't know what it is tonight. We're doing terrible with these names.
Well, I haven't watched The Boys in a while.
We turned 1 year older within a week, and now we can't remember crap.
But that woman that was in the court that Huey ends up working at the end, she's just as bad as the rest of them. She was the one that was blowing up heads and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's cool, you know, because it shows that they don't look at gender, they don't look at race, they don't look at religion. Anybody can be good or bad, you know. And I think that, you know, in this show, WandaVision, they draw a line in the sand that you know that you got Wu, you got Darcy, and you got Monica. They're the good guys, you know, and they can't do anything wrong and stuff like that. And then you have the bad guy and all that stuff. Anyway, I don't like that whole aspect of it. I think it would have been more fun if it wasn't like that. I just feel like they're telegraphing it too much. Like, this is our message that we're trying to push, is that they're all knowing, they're all good and all that stuff. So I think
they're all knowing, because let's face it, they built that jeep, tank, whatever it was, that they thought they could just ram their way in, and they didn't have much luck with that.
But that's what annoyed me too, is that Monica's in there, right? And Wu comes running out. It's like, Monica, no, get out of it, you know? And she's like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sacrifice my life, you know, just to do this, you know? If she would have went, oh, hell no, after she saw that the Jeep was like falling apart, I'd have been, that's my girl, you know? I'm totally behind her. But that she's like, no, I'm going to do this. I know that it destroyed my Jeep. I'm going to physically go through it because I don't care, because I have to do this. Like, come on. You know, it's like, it's just too much. And I like the actress and I like the character of Monica Rambeau, but pull it back a little bit. You know, it's like, I think the writing is awful. And that whole thing with Darcy going into Westview with the circus. And then the strong man, you know, what was it? Was it, who rescued Darcy? Was it Vision?
Rescued her?
From the circus? Well, you know,
she just left with the Vision.
Yeah, but.
She was the escape artist and she's all chained up. She's like, okay, shrugs and all the chains fall off.
Didn't she punch him or something? Yeah, she punched him in the nose. She punched a strong man in the nose and knocked him down. Come on. You know, it's like stuff like that I don't like. And she hates everybody that's not Monica. You know, it's just really annoying.
I don't know.
I didn't like the whole It's Been Agatha All Along. Like, will you like that song?
I thought that song was, like I said, it's been in my head since Friday. And it's catchy. I liked
how Disney.
Huh?
To Disney.
It's the Munsters.
It's not the Munsters.
It's that it reminds me of the Munsters.
Maybe it reminds you of it, but
I don't know. I liked it. I know you don't. I know. I think it's like out on iTunes and it's like one of those like most downloaded songs or something.
And that drives me crazy too. It's not that good.
It's a catchy song.
No, it's not.
It is. It is, Joe. It has a good hook with the beat. And, you know, that It was Agatha all along.
Right,
like
stop.
that's your lyric hook. It is catchy, bud. Sorry. I know all you right. don't like it, but it's very catchy.
For listeners, including myself, tell us about Agatha Harkness, because like I don't know much about her. What is she like in the comics? Well, like who's her like her main nemesis that she goes up against?
Her main nemesis is actually her son. Her son is Nicholas Scratch, who has gathered this community of witches together, and they keep themselves secluded. And it looks like a beautiful American small town and everything. But it's run by witches that have a coven, and they cast a whole bunch of spells to protect themselves. And, you know, he sort of corrupts things to kind of take advantage of the outside world. And Agatha left because she couldn't agree with what her son was doing, but because it's her son, she didn't want to fight him. So she just left and went out into the world and has her own little house with her ebony cat and babysits Franklin Richards.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I mean, and to show, you know, how she is, she defeated the Frightful Four outright, where she sent them running for the hills. I mean, and who's on it? It's like the wizard, who's a smart gadget guy. But you've got the Sandman, who, you know, Sandman takes on anybody. He's not just a Spider-Man villain. He's fought the Hulk. He's fought the FF. He's fought Nova. He's fought a number of people. Like, he's a serious, he should be on our list of underrated characters.
I was thinking of DC Sandman when you mentioned him.
Oh, no, not the DC Sandman. But, you know, they have them, and of course they have Pastebot Pete, or the Trapster. But he's a gadget. He's a gadget guy. They've turned him more towards gadgets than his glue gun, you know. But she sent them running, you know. And it was a fun issue because the Frightful Four are attacking as the FF is there interviewing her to be the nanny. So it's a fun issue. It's a typical Stan Lee, Jack Kirby issue.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
You know, but she comes and goes. She's in a whole bunch of stuff. And actually, she's the person who really teaches Wanda how to use magic to become a witch.
Oh, maybe she'll do that.
I don't know if she's messing around with the Darkhold or whatever that book is. That's not a good sign.
Because again, Wanda in the MCU, she's not using magic.
She has learned to use magic. She still has her probability altering power, but she actually is a witch now.
Okay. So even though I kind of poo-pooed on this episode, I still have a little hope, you know, for it. And a listener who shall be nameless contacted me and told me, remember Elizabeth Olsen was saying that there's like a Luke Skywalker sort of cameo that's coming up?
Oh, yeah, there's some big reveal coming.
So people thought it was Quicksilver, you know? And I think even some people thought it might be Reed Richards, but it wasn't that either.
I'm telling you, if it's that aerospace guy, I'm putting my money on Ben.
No, that's the aerospace person was Major Goodner. That's who she was talking about.
Oh, that I didn't catch. I thought she was just like a commander. I didn't realize she was the engineer type. I thought the engineer type would be somebody working for her that we haven't seen yet.
Well, I guess she did. We might have seen her like in a minor capacity, but for some reason, the actress thought, oh, you don't realize that this person is actually the person that, what was it? It was an aerospace or whatever.
Yeah, some aerospace engineer.
Yeah, the engineer, yeah. So it was that, you know, woman, Major Goodner, that was helping them, betraying S.W.O.R.D., you know.
I don't recall a Goodness character in MC in Marvel. So it may be somebody I just don't know.
It's not a character. She was trying to say that we had seen her before, I think, in the series. You know, it was blown out of proportion, you know.
Okay.
But anyway, so this person said that they found out who the big person is. And it's definitely going to be this person. And so they asked me, do you want to know who it is?
And
I said,
and
yeah,
you
said
yes,
of course.
But I would say no.
So I will say,
oh, here we go.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay, don't spoil it, please.
But I will say it's really big. It's probably on tonight's episode too. And we did not guess this, you know, because we had our guesses and stuff like that.
And that's even better. I'd rather be wrong and be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be
speculation.
Cool.
You know, I honestly, I'd rather see something come out of left field that I'd be completely surprised over.
So I'm looking forward to either this episode or the following episode. If this person does show up during one of these episodes, it's got to be one of them. It's probably tonight's episode. And people are listening.
Tomorrow night's episode.
Well, it comes out, I think it comes out at 2:00 Eastern time, 2 a.m. Eastern time over here.
I won't be awake for that.
Yeah, who knows? I've been having trouble sleeping. All right, let's get on to the main topic. So, okay. Like we said, we're going to discuss the most underrated superheroes and supervillains that we feel really deserve some love. In comics or in the MCU or maybe in a television show or something like that. So I'll let you go first, Jack. Give me, I wanted you guys to say three, but pick five just in case we overlap. I don't think we're going to overlap. So give me three, you know.
Okay. I'll go for my first.
Okay.
For me, I think the underrated character is Hank Pym, Ant-Man. The reason I say this is because they had a storyline where he had a breakdown and he was arguing with the Wasp and he slapped her.
Yeah.
And since that moment in the 60s, that has always been the defining moment for him that they've never gotten past. And he has some very interesting powers with the ability of not just to grow and shrink himself, but to grow and shrink other objects. And the best case I've seen him use was when John Byrne used him on the West Coast Avengers, that he was just Hank Pym. You know, that was his superhero code name. And he wore a work suit that had pockets on it. And he would pull stuff out of his pockets and expand it. So they were fighting the Mole Man's monster, the one that's famous on the first issue of FF, the big green thing. And, you know, he pulls out a needle gun, as they say. It just shoots masses of needles at high velocity, so this way it'll basically tear through anything. And he takes something out of his pocket and just goes, zoop, and here it is. He's got this mega rifle, you know, and he opens up with it, you know, and then afterwards he goes, zoop, puts it back in his pocket. You know, they're going somewhere. Oh, they need a car. They need a truck. Vroom, here's our car. Oh, we're done. Vroom, he puts it in and uses it for later. And he did this a number of times, and it was just such a cool way that you have this walking arsenal inventory.
He kind of does that in the MCU, though. He does that a little bit.
But this was like his main thing in the West Coast Avengers run. So it was just a very cool thing. Now they've gone back to him having a breakdown, triggered by Ultron. He's been possessed by Ultron. Now he's merged with Ultron, where, he's truly merged, where he's as smart as Hank Pym, but he has maniacal mindset of Ultron, and it's just like a mess. And it was just a case of they always kept going back to when things get tough, Hank can't handle it, he has a breakdown, and bad things happen. And it's too bad because he's not a bad character. He had the breakdown, and yes, that one moment happened and it was horrible, and they showed it to be horrible, that this was caused by him having his nervous breakdown where his whole personality switched.
Was this when he was Yellow Jacket, or was he?
Right. Ant-Man? This is when he went from Giant Man / Ant-Man to Yellow Jacket. And they sort of, Janet Van Dyne kind of humored him in that Yellow Jacket role, hoping he would come out of it. And of course he comes out of it when they're getting married up on the altar. And in true comic form, like in the middle of the wedding ceremony, he bursts into Giant Man and his tuxedo shatters and shreds. And he's got his Ant-Man suit on and he takes on whoever's interrupting the wedding. So it kind of goes.
Oh, I thought you
classic comic bookie.
I thought you were going to say he grabs Janet and he climbs the Empire State Building.
You see, now that would happen.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't know what to do with him, that they would do something like, oh, he's having a breakdown. He's grabbed the Wasp and climbed to the top of the Empire State Building, and the Quinjets are going to shoot him down. That's today's comics. You know how they say Aquaman never has any respect?
Hmm.
Hank Pym is the Aquaman of Marvel Comics.
I agree with you 100%. I know you're more of a fan than I am of him. And it is a little bit insulting to have Tony Stark create Ultron as opposed to Hank Pym. But like I've always said, I'm not a fan of either Ant-Man. I don't like the powers. Although in the MCU, I like Paul Rudd. Who is he? What's his? He's not Hank.
Scott. Pym.
Scott Lang.
Yes.
I like him as Scott Lang. I think he works better with the Avengers or in Civil War, when he's part of a team. Although he works good with, Wasp too. And the Ant-Man's those two movies were fun. But to me, they're not superheroes. They're like, science experiments. And it's just not as fun. Just like I don't like Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, because she stretches. You want me to get on board, give me a pretty damn good superpower.
But that's only one part of her power. And it's not exactly like she's not Reed Richards that she stretches. She embiggens or grows that body part.
It's still dumb.
That's why her fist, she can make her fist huge because she just grows her fist. She doesn't stretch her fist. It just.
That's even dumber.
Like, I'm going to make this hand bigger so I can slap somebody to New Jersey.
You're not winning me over.
I know. Well, I know it's just one of those things. You don't really like the character, but I think she's good. I like her.
Yeah, but I would say out of the three, the two Ant-Mans and Wasp, I'm actually more interested in the Wasp. I've always been, because I felt like in a way she was kind of like the heart of the Avengers, like when they first started. And
I wouldn't go along with that, but okay. Why not?
Didn't she name the Avengers?
She did name the team, But she was, well, she was also the victim of 1960s comics, you know, where, you know, the Avengers are talking about the importance of doing something. And she's like, that's fine, but I want to go catch the sale at Lord and Taylor. You know, like she really had some, by today's standards, awful dialogue. It's one of the things, like we've talked about before, how Taylor just can't read any of the classic comics from Lee and Kirby and Ditko, because he's like, this is just god awful, you know. And it is by today's standards, but when it came out,
that's what it was like.
That's how women were portrayed in the comics and on television, you know,
and in life.
Susie Housewife, and you know, and the comics reflected that.
Yeah. Should I go?
Just go ahead. Go for it.
So I'm going to say Nightwing. I really feel like he never got his due. I was never a fan of Dick Grayson as Robin. I'm not a fan of any Robins. I just think that when they killed off Robin, Jason Todd, they should just left him dead. They should have never had another Robin. I never liked the costume. I like that they changed it when
Tim Drake took over.
Yeah, Tim Drake. He had like the long pants and he had the blackish cape and all that stuff. But still, I think Batman works better alone. I just don't like him. But it was kind of cool though. Like Dick Grayson always was in Batman's shadow, you know? And I don't know how it happened. I don't know the history behind things. Like, I don't know if he went to the Teen Titans first, because he was Robin, I think, when he went to the Teen Titans.
He was Robin in Teen Titans. And I remember when he said he needed a change. And, like, he left the room in his Robin costume and came back in his Nightwing costume.
Oh, that's cool.
Full of 1970s George Perez flair and super wide collars.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that. I know in the animated series, Batman animated series, or was it Adventures of Batman and Robin? Like, him and Batman had a falling out because he didn't like that Batman was beating up some guy in front of his kid. And that was when Dick Grayson said, okay, I've had enough. I'm going off on my own. I don't know if they had that moment in the actual DC comics. Like I said, because I'm not a big DC guy, but
they definitely had a falling out.
Down like that.
They had a falling out. I don't recall everything about it, but I did like when he changed his costume. He got more adult. I loved his costume too. I mean, I like it more as it got modern, you know, and he lost the high collars and everything, but I like the colors, the black and the blue and the kind of like a domino mask, but a little cooler looking. And he's pretty cool.
Is it black and blue, or is it black, but you know, with the blue shading that they use in comics?
No, there's blue in it. He's got some blue in it.
I think the Nightwing logo is blue. I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, I just like that character. And, you know, he just never got really much respect. His comics really didn't do that well. And I would have thought that he would have, because he was an adult, Dick Grayson. He was a crime fighter. He was not Robin anymore. And I'd have liked to seen him in the movie somehow. Like, we almost had that with The Dark Knight Rises, but they screwed that up, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I feel bad for him in a way, even though he's fictional. I feel bad for Dick Grayson. I just wish that he would have gotten a little bit more love in the comics, in popularity, and in the movies. All right, who's your next one? We'll get to Taylor's in a little bit.
All right. One character, also an Avenger, but we haven't seen him, is Wonder Man. Simon Williams. He's the guy who's mind waves were imprinted onto the Vision. And he eventually made his debut where Baron Zemo and the Masters of Evil created him to infiltrate the Avengers. And he did, and he was supposed to betray them, and he did betray them, but he switched sides again to save the Avengers, and in doing so, brought about his ending, his demise. So he was always kind of, you know, left in one of those, yeah, he was a hero at the end kind of characters. He is really a good character, but they kind of play him a little too lightly. They've done some different things with him now, but he is strong enough to go toe-to-toe with the Hulk. And if he dies, he reverts to ionic energy and will reform.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
You know, yeah, I mean, that's his thing, that whatever Zemo did to give him his powers, the ion effect brings him back. And he was brought back after Heroes Reborn, after they came back, Wanda reformed him using her probability powers to make him reform quicker. You know, but once again, they kind of got stuck in a one note with him where he's in love with Wanda. You know, the same qualities that make the Vision fall in love with her make Simon fall in love with her. You know, because they have the same brainwaves, the same way of thinking. And they keep mining that over and over and over again, that, well, they haven't really done too often. They then switched him to the point where after Avengers disassembled, he was completely anti-Avenger. He's like in that camp of, just by you guys getting together, you attract the threats that can hurt and kill people. Like, if the Avengers weren't together, Kang would never bother showing up, because Kang likes to come and fight the Avengers. So by reforming the Avengers, he's like, no, this can't happen. Every time you do, it's trouble. So he kind of became a villain for a little while because he was so anti-Avenger. Then they turned him into a pacifist. So you have a guy who, like I said, can go toe-to-toe with the Hulk, can take a hit from Thor's hammer, you know, super strong guy, and now, yes, he'll lift things and bend things, but he's not going to fight anybody. He's just going to let them pound on him. And it just seems like that's not a fun character anymore, you know? And during his height, during the like 90s, you know, he went out west to LA to become like a movie star because he had that look, you know? So that was at the height of his popularity, and he's never really come back since the 90s in any reasonable way to put him out there. So yeah, I say Simon Williams Wonder Man is just an underrated Avenger.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm going to give you credit. You'll make a character that I've always felt was very lame sound very interesting, you know, because again, I didn't follow him the way you did throughout the history of his life in comics.
Well, I just remember him coming in and out of the Avengers.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, he never really made it on his own. And so it was always a subplot running through Avengers with him. He'd show up for a while. He'd stick around for maybe 6 to 12 issues, and then he'd sort of fade away.
Yeah. When I used to collect Wonder man was in the comics at times, and I'm like, ugh, what is he doing there? Couldn't they get somebody better? First of all, I didn't like his costume. I was not a fan of it. I'm sure it's improved since then.
Well, it's still, he used to have this like green costume with red goggles, you know, and then
like blue and red.
Well, then he switched to, he was like in black with a big red W on his chest.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
And then eventually just went to a black t-shirt with a big W on his chest.
Yeah. And that name, I mean, it sounds too much like Wonder Woman. You know,
it's yeah,
like,
it's not a great name.
No, it's not a good name at all. But, yeah, I mean, you make him sound more interesting by what you said, but I wouldn't want to see him in the MCU. I wouldn't collect his comic books. Maybe they could reboot him somehow, you know.
Well, and, or actually, for the MCU, he'd be a good stand-in. Like, you know, here's this guy who shows up, the Avengers take him in, and then have it revealed that he's the heel for the Masters of Evil, or Zemo's manipulating him, and then he turns, and then he dies at the end, you know, in a heroic death. I think that would be a good, that would be a good Avengers 4 movie.
But they got to give him a better name, like the Eliminator or something like
Mr.
that.
Mr. Ion.
I don't even know if that's good. That reminds me of Captain Atom, you know, which is another lame name.
Yeah, right. But he's been around forever.
Mm. All right, so my number two is Azrael. I liked the sort of Azrael when that first came out. It just something about the character drew me to him. I love the costume. You know, it was red and yellow or gold, and he had this sword, and it was the Order of St. Dumas.
And had those big spikes.
Yeah.
The fire that came out of his hand.
Oh, it was such a cool costume, you know. And he had the hood and everything. It's sometimes I'm just attracted to costumes, you know, that I will follow these characters no matter what. And that's going to be my third one coming up too. But yeah, I really liked Azrael. And like what made him cool too is that they didn't do much with him. Like after he had his first couple of issues, it was like a short little series.
But actually, his series lasted, I think, close to 50 issues.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had the 4-part limited series introduced.
Yeah, that's the one I had. Yeah.
The Sword of Azrael or something like mm-hmm. that. But then he had a series and it kind of lost steam.
I think that's what happened. I didn't have his interest in him after the Sword of Azrael.
Right.
Yeah, but its story, it kind of reminds me of Wanted.
Kind of, yeah.
It's a lot like Wanted because his father, he's basically replacing his father, and his father was assassinated by someone that was part of the Order of St. Dumas, and he's out to get that guy. You know, it's really cool. You know, I mean, like when I was like thinking about it, they're very close, and I like Wanted too. I like the movie with Morgan Freeman and Angelina Jolie. If you guys haven't seen that, you like it? Oh, you don't like
it? I thought it was okay.
I liked it. It wasn't very superhero-ish, but I like it.
I know it was based off a comic series, so.
Yeah. I think it was Mark Miller.
I'm going to learn how to curve bullets.
You know? I still like it, though. It's like.
Okay. All right.
Anyway. So, yeah. And the big thing what happened with him is when Bane came around and he broke Batman's back. Instead of going to Robin to be Batman while he was on the mend, he chose Jean-Claude Valley, who was Azrael, Jean-Paul Valley, sorry. And he became the new Batman, but he was a psycho Batman. He felt that he needed to be just as dangerous as the criminals in order to defeat them. So he didn't mind killing criminals. He didn't mind killing innocents that got in the way. And the only one that really saw this was Tim Drake. And, you know, he knew something was going on and he almost strangled Tim Drake and almost killed him because he was getting in his way. And then he closed off the Batcave to Batman, Bruce Wayne and Alfred and Tim Drake. He got really crazy. He built up the bat suit. He originally had Batman suit, but then it became very robotic and tech. You know, kind of like a mashup between the bat suit and the Azrael suit. It's crazy.
And then what I never understood is it started as blue. And then he caught on fire, and then it turned red.
Did it? I remember it being blue.
It was kind of weird. It was like, you know, he was in the blue suit, and he's fighting in a burning building or something. And next thing, he bursts out, and he's in this red costume, which I thought was cooler than the blue costume.
Oh, yeah? I don't remember that. But, you know, what's cool, though, is that Batman or Bruce Wayne, he does his whole Rocky thing. He gets back in shape, and he has to take on, you know, the new Batman, Jean-Paul Valley, you know, and it's really cool. I just think I would love to see a movie with him in it. I would love to see more of him in the comics. I just was a really big fan of him. And I think a lot of it had to do, well, that he was part of the Order of St. Dumas, and that he was also, that costume is just so, so great. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Who's your next one?
My next one, he got a revamp, and he's cooler than he used to be, but I don't think people really get him as much, is Nova.
Okay, that's the only one that I would say you got me on that one. I'll agree.
Okay, Nova was introduced during the like mid to late 70s because Marvel realized that Spider-Man had grown up, that Spider-Man was no longer the teenager that like kids could relate to, because here it is, he you know, he had a real-time job, he was out on his own. Peter Parker wasn't the nerdy kid he used to be. You know, he had grown up, grown out of that, and they were like, you know what we're missing that teenage superhero that's more than just like a sidekick. So they came up with Nova, and the origin is very similar to Green Lantern, where, you know, an alien ship shows up and the alien is dying, and he sends out a ray and it hits Richard Rider, and Richard Rider suddenly has the powers of a Nova, which are space cops, just like the Green Lanterns. But what made it funny was, you know, well, not funny. What made it good was you still had an everyday teenage kid with friends, with the same problems of being in school, and his parents don't understand him, you know, because, you know, he's just a teenage kid. Well, they had it. I forgot who wrote it, but it was Sal Buscema, who drew it. And of course, you know, he's getting his own rogue gallery as they go along. And they had some cool new villains for him to fight, especially the Sphinx, which was an immortal being who's been around since the time of Moses. So, you know that scene from the Bible, the Ten Commandments movie, when Moses is talking to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh's magician throws down his staff and it becomes a snake, and Moses does the same, and Moses' snake eats the other one. Well, that's the Sphinx. The Pharaoh's magician is the Sphinx. You know, and all through history, he's searched for a way to end his existence because he's cursed with immortality, and he just wants to break the cycle of that. So that's his main villain. But he fought the Sandman, and in one part, which was really good, fought the Sphinx numerally. Another guy called Diamond Head, which was, he's exactly what you would picture a comic character called Diamond Head would look like. He just had a big diamond for a head. You know, who, and he acted like the Rhino. He ran into people with this diamond head. Goofy, but he was really good. Then they he came back several times in different series, but none of them really stuck around too much. Up until Abbott and Danning did the Annihilation storyline, and they brought him back, and they gave, you know, revamped him completely. He's older, like Peter Parker. He grew up. He's out there as a space cop doing his thing, stops in on Earth every so often to say hello to the folks and whatnot. But he was a victim, I think, of event fatigue that he went through Annihilation, the second Annihilation, Conquest, and then they did War of Kings. And eventually he like flew off into an event, and that was the end of the series. So they replaced him again with a teenage superhero, Nova, who had another Nova helmet that gave him all the powers. And fans hated this guy, Sam Alexander. And it was a fun book again. You went back to having a teenage superhero, but the fans just rejected him outright. He's still around as part of Ms. Marvel's Champions team, but he never had the appeal. So they found a way to bring back Rich Rider. They brought him back, and they didn't do anything with him for years until they introduced him again as a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy, because he's the guy. He went through the Annihilation War and the second Annihilation War. Peter Quill is now like one of his best friends. So they bring him into Guardians of the Galaxy, and the next issue, Peter Quill gets blown up. But don't worry, he's back again because comic books. So, but it just seems like Nova, Rich Rider, just can't seem to get a break. And just the way they ended him, flying off into the next event series and just getting rid of him there, it seemed like such a raw deal. And I don't think they're ever going to get him back being that popular again. So that's my number three underrated character, Nova. A great character, great costume design.
Yeah.
In both reiterations, the first one, and then the second one, they made him more spiky, spikes on his uniform, and a little bit sleeker of a design, more stylized. But I still love the classic costume. The new costume is good. But he went from a costume uniform to armor. That gives you more of an idea of the kind of change they made of him. But no, he's a great character, but they can't seem to figure out what to do with him.
See, I was thinking more of him in the MCU, and I feel like it was a big missed opportunity that he wasn't in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Mm-hmm. They could have brought him in there, and then maybe he could have went off and had his own solo movie, you know, if he was popular. I mean, I know,
make him part of the team.
There's a lot of members on that team, though, when you think about it, you know. They added Mantis and, Gamora's sister.
Yeah, but Nebula left off on her own. She's not part of the team.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they could have had, Nova would have been sort of like, you know how Captain Marvel shows up outside of the ship in Endgame to save Tony Stark? You know, Nova could have been that guy that could be their recon person, because he can survive out in space and he can fly super fast from planet to planet. So he could be like their recon guy, you know. But yeah, you're right. That's kind of a missed opportunity. Who knows? Maybe in Volume 3, maybe we'll see Nova show up.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'd love it. I think it's great. And I like I said, I love the character design. It's the first costume. It was just a simple costume, but it had the right touches to it, you know, with the blue tunic, with the star pattern on it, yellow sleeves, like blue bracers. I mean, it was just a good look, and classic comic booky look.
That's a good choice.
All right. Who's your number three, Joe?
All right. So this is my last one. And I know you're not going to like this because I've mentioned this person before. And you totally disagree with me on this character. Can you guess?
No.
Bishop.
And then you'll say it and I'll be like, oh, great Scott.
Bishop of the X-Men. He is one of those, for some reason, Jack, when he first came out, I just was just drawn to him. I love the cover of that Uncanny X-Men that he was on with, you know, his other two mates from the future. Mm-hmm. I picked up so many issues of that too, because I think it went it was very popular, and I think it did over 100,000, and so they came out with a gold issue. So I got that one too, and then I got two of the original ones. There was just something about him that I liked. Well, first of all, you know, we talk about like black superheroes, that there's not enough. He was my favorite. You know, I mean, I loved War Machine and Black Panther and, Luke Cage and stuff like that, and Falcon. But for some reason, I just love this guy. I love his look. You know, he's got like a big M on his tattooed on his eye.
Or mutant, because from his alternate future, you know, they brand mutants.
Yeah. But it was so cool, you know, I mean, to see something like that. And, you know, he kind of had the X-Men costume, but he had like a red scarf around his neck. And he had this big-ass gun, you know. And he was from the future. Now he kind of
like Cable.
I was just going to say, he kind of ripped off Cable story.
Kind of?
Yeah, he did, you know, but I just like him. You know, it's like, I see statues of him now and I'm like, oh man, that looks so cool. I don't know. There's just something about him I just like. And anytime I would see him in any comic book, like if there was a cover with him on it, I would just grab it. I just was like, it was like a magnet. And steel, you know, I just had to have it. And I just love the design of him. I love the character in the X-Men. I can understand, you know, how you're not crazy about him. He is a lot like Cable. But like when he first came, he was an Aborigine or something like that. And he was a mutant.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And his parents were killed and he was raised by this man named Labu, who was also called Witness. And he apparently was the last person to see the X-Men before they died. And he told him tales about the X-Men and stuff like that. And that there was a betrayer in their midst that ended up killing them all. So something happened.
But he didn't know who it was.
Yeah. So something happens and he ends up like going back to the past. He's 80 years in the future. He goes back in the past. And he meets up with the X-Men. And at first he, you know, he doesn't believe they're the X-Men and he fights them. But then eventually, you know, he realizes that they're X-Men. And then he meets Gambit, who, you know, the character of Witness reminds him a lot of Gambit, that he's got the Cajun accent and similar powers. And he thinks that he's the one that betrays the X-Men. And I think it turns out that it was Cable's twin brother. Something like that. That was the one that betrayed the X-Men. Strife. It was a weird story, but I just liked the
Professor
character.
Professor X and Onslaught.
Well,
that what Bishop had was video message from Jean Grey. That was, you know, when the X-Men were betrayed. And when Professor X makes the flip from Charles Xavier to Onslaught, it's Jean Grey has exactly that same conversation that Bishop saw in the video clip. So
that was the Age of Apocalypse.
the heroes reborn, when they all went off into that different universe for a little while, when the
Xavier's son, who was Legion, went back in time to assassinate Magneto. And then that was revealed that Professor Xavier was Onslaught. But that was afterwards. That wasn't the first one that was, you know, trying to kill Xavier. And I think he might have too, was Strife. Strife was Cable's twin or his double or something like that. So anyway.
I think he was a clone.
He might have been a clone or something. But
who knows? You know, so many crazy things happened in the X-Men, especially after Claremont left. Who knows?
I like the character. And even in the X-Men, the Fox animated series, they did something like that with him. And I think they kind of merged that with Days of Futures Past.
They could have.
I think they did, you know, where he took the place of Cable and stuff like that. But he looked cool. He looked exactly as I envisioned him, you know, from the comics. Now this damn movie that came out, The Age of Apocalypse. No, it was Days of Future Past. And they had Bishop in there. Oh my God, I was so disappointed. That guy was not Bishop. First of all, he was too fat to be Bishop, you know, and he
didn't have the cherry curls.
Yeah, he didn't have the confidence. He didn't have like the machismo, you know. It was just like he was there, you know. It was like almost as bad as Bane in Batman and Robin, you know. And again, it ripped my heart out because I love this character. And it's like, that's it. That's Bishop. And they killed him off like right away. He's got weird powers too. And he basically absorbs energy, you know. It's not the best.
Can send it back.
Yeah. And then he's got that gun though too. But I just like him, you know.
The power is pretty good. So, you know.
And I think he would be such a great addition to the X-Men if they ever do. Well, not right away. He can't, you know, be like, if they do an X-Men movie, they can't introduce Bishop. It's got to be like 4 or 5 movies down the line before they get up to that point, you know. And they probably need to introduce Cable first so he can rip off his story. Anyway, I just like him.
Well, they have introduced Cable.
No, they did, but I'm saying, Disney's going to reboot all this crap. So,
I didn't know what they were planning on doing about the Deadpool movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, when I think about it, I know there's going to be a Deadpool 3. You're right. They might still just do the R-rated versions, but who knows if Cable is going to be in that.
I'd love to see the Deadpool 2 Juggernaut show up in the MCU. And they could have a throwdown between, you know, Hulk and him or Thor and him.
Yeah, well, technology's gotten better since that movie. I didn't think he looked that good. You know, the CGI. It was better than, you know, X-Men.
Last Stand, yeah.
Yeah, but it just looked too CGI.
I thought he looked good, but okay.
Anyway, that's it. I just said 3, so we're going to leave it at 3.
Okay.
I'll mention Taylor's because Taylor had a few. He's got weird ones. I'm sorry. I don't even know.
Punch Man.
Weathered Wizard. Who is Weathered Wizard?
That's a Flash villain.
I think, yeah, a lot of his villains. This guy likes the Flash too much.
You know? Okay, who else does he have?
Mirror Master.
Another Flash villain.
So there's a Weathered Wizard and there's a Captain Cold.
Yes.
Flash? That's crazy.
No, well, Weather Wizard, he can create storms and manipulate energy, you know, create thunderbolts, gusts of wind. Captain Cole's power is different. They kind of put a twist on it. He slows down the movement in molecules. You know how when from 5th grade science, you know, when things get hot, they start moving around like boiling water. That's because the heat has made the molecules start to move to get agitated. Okay. But of course, if it's cold, they slow down and become hard, like an ice cube. So his ability, his is an actual power that he is able to do that. He is able to slow down the molecules of whatever he wants. So he can actually do it with his hand. It just takes him longer. His gun amplifies that power and lets him slow down the molecule. So when he shoots something, he slows down the molecules and the air around it. So this way, any moisture becomes ice.
Well, thanks
so
for
Captain
explaining
Cold
that.
Is actually kind of cool when you look at it from that angle.
I think he sucks. I mean,
you think he sucked.
If I had to choose him between him and Mr. Freeze, I would go with Mr. Freeze.
Now, Mr. Freeze outright freezes things. He lowers the temperature.
Yeah, and I think
doesn't mess around with molecules.
I like Reverse Flash. That's about it. I think his villains are lame, like Captain Boomerang, Gorilla Grodd. I can't stand any of them. I just am not a huge fan of any of them.
Oh, Grodd is...
He's a gorilla. He's a gorilla that talks.
He's a gorilla with huge telepathic powers.
Who cares? He's still a gorilla. I mean, it's not you got to have a good costume. He's naked.
He's got a little helmet, but okay.
Does he have a helmet?
Yeah, he has like a energy band that amplifies his powers so he can force his will upon others from long distance.
He's too gorilla.
Captain Cold, not bad. Grodd, not bad, but I mean, I get you. Mirror Master, I'm not a big fan of. Or Weather Wizard, Flash does have a good rogues gallery, but not the greatest, but it's pretty good.
So he mentioned Martian Manhunter. I don't get him.
Martian Manhunter is
Superman, except he's from Mars.
He's Superman with a couple of different tweaks to his story. You know, he used to be last of his kind. I don't know if that's the case anymore. But he has the story of he's last of his kind. He's a refuge, you know, as opposed to Superman, whose planet just blew up. So they're very similar characters, but they're a little bit different, where the Martian Manhunter can shapeshift.
Yeah.
And he has some mental powers. But then again, his weakness is much more common than Superman's. That, you know, Martians are terribly vulnerable to fire.
Isn't that psychological, though?
No, it will actually kill them.
Oh, okay.
You know, so he's, like I say, he's super strong, super fast. He's like Superman, but where he has the extra powers, that makes his weakness all more common.
Never liked his look, never liked his costume. I just was never a fan of
him. His costume, you know, he's kind of, I like his look better in the Justice League animated series. In the movies than his costume in the comics. In the costume in the comics, he's just, you know, bare-chested with bandoliers going across.
Almost like suspenders. Overalls.
Like, you know, take it or leave it. I like that, at least in the Justice League animated series, how, you know, he had like a sort of like a blue costume. I think it had like a red M on it too. Or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
That there was a little bit of more color contrast than just, you know, green with. What color was his cape in the comics? Was it blue?
I don't know. I thought it was red.
You know what? I can't even remember. You know, but I remember in the animated series, he had a blue costume with like a black cape or something. So, you know,
I personally think he's overrated, and if he died and remained dead, I'd be okay with it. Because again, you got Superman and you got Shazam, you know, and then you got this guy. we don't need him. You know, it's like.
Yeah, but at least Shazam's.
Shazam's is even pushing it a little bit.
Background is different enough to make comparison to Superman a little bit different. Being the last of your kind on Earth, trying to blend in, that's Superman's gig.
They both got capes. They both can fly. They're both super strong. You know,
they both have big shoulder pads. They both have big guns. They're both from an alternate future timeline.
They have black hair, you know. Anyway, I wanted to mention this too. I was talking to Charlie today. So he wanted to throw one in after I told him what we were doing. Howard the Duck. And he wanted to see what you thought about it. He knows what I think about it.
Howard the Duck seems like a gag that has just gone on way too long. I was never a fan of him. Like, he's not Donald Duck because he's, you know, foul-mouthed and smokes and drinks. I don't see the appeal. Like,
people flip out. He's not a superhero.
No, he's just a duck.
Yeah.
You know, he's a human-sized duck that can speak and he just sort of shows up that I'm not a fan of Howard the Duck. If he's underrated, he deserves to be underrated.
Well,
flipped out in Guardians of the Galaxy when he was in the collector's vault. Remember, yeah. People were like, wow, he's back. Look, it's Howard Duck. I was like, yeah, all right, who cares?
I was like that too.
Yeah, like, okay, ha ha ha, you know.
Anyway, what was funny though is like, I knew people that didn't even know who he was. And then when they found out what he was, they're like, did you hear Howard the Duck was in there? It's like, yeah, about a half an hour ago. You didn't know who he was, you know? But Charlie was a big fan of the Howard the Duck movie that George Lucas did.
But he loves old, horrible movies from the
80s. He's going to listen to this.
Charlie, you know it. You know it. The cornier, cheesier the movie, you love it.
I watched it recently, you know, and it's got its 80s charm. But the whole duck design.
Young Leah Thompson is always good.
Oh, yeah. She's like the saving grace in that movie. But the duck design creeped me out, you know? I just didn't like it. I think, again, if they want to do another Howard the Duck movie, I think he'd look better, you know?
Oh, I'm sure he would now.
He'd be CGI.
You know, yeah.
Instead of like a Jim Henson production.
No, thanks. I'll pass on a Howard Duck movie, no matter how good
they make. All right, let's get into some listener email, and then we'll wrap this up.
All right.
So Fedra would like to know, what are Wanda Kidd's powers in the comics? Wanda's ambitions.
They really didn't have powers. They were kids. The fast acceleration in age, that didn't happen with Wanda's kids. The whole Wanda storyline was resolved before they got older. And some people are saying, oh, you know, one of them is dressed like Wiccan from Young Avengers. Yeah, but that's not Wanda's kid in the comics. So I would say they don't have powers because they never got old enough to be more than infants.
So these two characters are completely new and original characters that are in WandaVision.
Yeah, they're something else. But in the comics, the twins, I think we talked about this before in another podcast, where the twins were part of Dr. Pandemonium's soul that to get his powers, he sold his soul to Mephisto, and Mephisto took it and broke it into five different sections. And Dr. Pandemonium's, I think it's Dr. Pandemonium. His Dr.
Pandemonium, what a name.
Yeah, I know. But his storyline was him trying to retrieve all the parts of his souls. And
Like Harry Potter?
Yes, like holocroxes. That's, did I say that right? I know I got busted one time
for close it. Enough. Taylor's not here. Close enough. Okay. I won't correct you.
So he got three parts of it, and it ended up that when Wanda cast the magic to create the boys, she grabbed two parts of Pandemonium's soul that was floating out there that Mephisto kind of just threw out there to see what would happen. So those two parts got captured by Wanda, were turned into the infants, and eventually Pandemonium tracks it down that it's Wanda's kids. And it ends with him reabsorbing the two kids, so his soul is complete. And Wanda, of course, starts her inevitable breakdown.
Decline into madness.
Into madness. A multiverse of madness. So that's what happens in the comics. So they never really get powers unless I missed a whole huge piece of Wanda history. But I believe their whole storyline was resolved when they were still infants.
Damn, Dr. Voldemort.
Could be. Thanks for your question, Fedra.
Okay, let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can find me and shoot me an email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
Very good, Jack.
Look at that. I got it right.
Yeah, and if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. Also, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit WDWNT's Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT.
And if you do, we'll send you some stale Oreos. They go great with milk.
Lately, you've been getting either early or late, you know, because I haven't gotten to the carousel of products. That's when you
the cat, it's when you ask, get a donation, you know, like PBS, you get a tote bag or an umbrella.
All right. And check out Walt Disney World News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today, for all your Disney and Universal Parks news. What else? I think I was getting to the carousel of products. Please visit the carousel of products, where there's a ton of fun WDWNT merchandise on sale.
And say, how come there isn't more nerd alerts?
It'll probably come eventually if we get a little more views. Finally,
tell your friends, give us views.
Finally, please subscribe and like the WDWNT Entertainment channel, where you can find Nerd Alert and other WDWNT original programming available there. Whew. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert.
That's a lot of trailers.
You
got to cut that down a little.
My voice, my golden throat, it's going. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 6. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, and be good to each other.